Father, give them a special blessing. Father, there's some that are grieving, Lord, at this time. We pray that you'd comfort them, Lord. May you please be their comfort, Lord. May you undertake for them during this time. We pray, we commit this time to you. In the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we ask it. Amen and amen. Amen. God bless you, saints. While some of the saints are being seated, we'll read our scripture from last week again. We'll read Philemon 1, verse 1. And then after that, we'll read Romans chapter 8. on Philemon, we'll just take the first part, that Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ. And then we'll turn to Romans chapter 8, verse 35. We'll go to Romans chapter 8, verse 35. And I'll turn to it here. Romans 8, 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, Christ Jesus our Lord. Thank you, sister. We may be seated. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Also, could you please put for us Philippians 1:21, sister? Just to continue with the thought that we had from last week, is that Paul, a prisoner of Christ, and we know Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Philippians 1:21, verse 21. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. 22. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labors. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not. For I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. We'll leave it at that. But just here, just reflecting again on Paul, that as we read the scripture there in Philemon, him being a prisoner of Christ. You know, now we know a prisoner by there's a few definitions, but one of the definitions of a prisoner is a person who's free, who's not free to leave because they are being held by an authority. Or sometimes you find that you can be a prisoner of your own thoughts, you can be a prisoner of your past, you can be a prisoner of so many things. But basically, a prisoner is you are held against your will, in the natural understanding of the word. You are held against your will. If it's in the natural, a prisoner, if you steal or you do something like that, you're found guilty by the law and you are bound with chains, or you put in a prison house and that's where you are. But Paul here, when he's speaking of him being a prisoner, though he was in prison, even in that, he was in prison for the cause of Christ. Because of his testimony of Jesus Christ, they held him in chains. But not only that, Paul was, in his will, he was a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Paul, we know that when he had his encounter with the Lord, that was the turning point for him. Even though him serving God before, we spoke of it last week, but that was a turning point because he met Christ face to face. And that what it changed everything for him. It changed everything for him because he was an ambitious man, Paul. You know, we thank the Lord and we rejoice together with our brother there, our doctor, who we have in the house. But Paul would have been, and I'm glad to say that Brother Tendai is just like Paul. You wouldn't have known that he's a doctor of philosophy by his humility, by the way which he would conduct himself. But Paul was like that. Paul was he was an ambitious man. Paul was a man, he sat under Gamaliel, and his future was bright ahead of Paul. But when he met Christ, that turned even his ambition. Paul says in the word, he said he counted it all as dung. All that he was building up to become, he counted it as dung. He counted it as something which was worthless because of the excellence which was in Christ Jesus. He met something which was greater than what he had before. Even though, like the rich young ruler, Paul was a good man. He was good. By nature, he was good. Because you couldn't call yourself a Pharisee of the Pharisees without having that outward righteousness, as it were. But there was something which he encountered which was deeper than that. And when Paul says to us, follow me as I follow Christ, there's no exception for that. Amen. He's not saying to us that where he forsook everything, where he counted everything as done, but to us, he says to us, no, it's okay. You can keep your ambition. You can keep your pride. Because like we said there, just in the definition of a prisoner, is that sometimes we are held in a prison of different things. Sometimes it's a prison of pride. Sometimes it's a prison of your nationality. Sometimes it's a prison of your race. Sometimes it's a prison because we know that there's only two powers that exist on this earth, that of God and that of the devil. So Satan always, by means of wanting to cripple us, whether it be in our upbringing, all of us, if we give our testimonies, we can see that God's hand was upon us. Without it, we would have perished. Some it was even at birth. Just the process itself of being born, Satan tried to take your life. But all of that, God does not want that those things should now hold us as prisoners for the entirety of our life. No. Because sometimes we get, maybe we come through a hard upbringing and it puts complexes within you. God's desire is to, because Jesus came to set you free. Completely. Not on some things. The Lord came to turn your heart, your mind, your body, your soul completely. You see, but Satan would have you keep looking at sometimes those circumstances. But I went through this. You know, and sometimes the things which we go through, they make us build a complex. Complexes are manifested in different ways. You know, sometimes you've seen it. We know in growing up in school and different things like that. Many times you'd see maybe that school bully. Sometimes that's a complex that's manifesting. He has so many, he or she doesn't matter. Bully is a bully. They have so many insecurities that to hide that, they can bully someone else. Or that person that, like growing up, the bully tends to be maybe the one that wants to be the funniest about. You know, I listened to a podcast of someone who I know personally. He overcame drug addiction. And it's my boss's brother. But in the podcast, what he spoke about, he's heavy in weight. Yeah. So he said he as a kid growing up, he so much had a complex about his weight that what he used to do to compensate for that, he used to make a lot of jokes to deflect from that. Yeah. You see, so Satan would have us bound by all these different kind of complexes. But like Paul said, that for him, he became a prisoner to the will of Jesus Christ. And the only way Paul could become a prisoner was by yielding. He had to yield. He yielded his reputation. It was stripped of him. The very same people who he was imprisoning, some of them he was witness to their death. He now went, and actually the time when on the Damascus Road, Paul was commissioned to go and wreak havoc amongst the believers. But he had to go amongst those same people and now testify of what had happened to him. So if you imagine what that was like, him being a man of reputation, how it looked, but he forsook all that. And there's no other way for us to, even we see, because today we read of Paul, most of the New Testament was written by him. And so he was a great apostle. But that was achieved by a death first to everything which was contrary to the will of God. He had to die to that. So in another way, we could say that Paul, he was an adopted son. He was adopted, he was commissioned, not only to the Gentiles, but even to the Jews. He manifested that Christ to them. But for Paul to attain to his adoption, first came a death. And it's no different for any of us. Because all of us, when we come to the Lord, what we have before us is just potential. It's no different to the rich young ruler. The rich young ruler, he had potential. The word says, Jesus said that when he seen him, he loved him. So he loved him, this rich young ruler, outwardly. He dressed the right way. He conducted himself the right way to the point that Jesus loved him. Jesus took time to speak to him. Jesus took time to manifest himself to him. That presence, that anointing was there in their communication or in their encounter. But that rich young ruler, all he had was potential. That's all it was. For that potential to be expressed so that Paul, the rich young ruler, could attain to his adoption, he had to forsake all. He had to forsake all. And that is the Lord's desire for each and every one of us. Because there's no two ways. It's only one way. Every time that we come into the house of God, there's two ways it can be. You walk in those doors and the word can come to you as judgment, or it can come to you as deliverance. God has given us free moral agency. Choice. We have that choice. Even to be healed, without you accepting it, you cannot be healed. Even Jesus himself, when he went to his own hometown, the Bible says he couldn't do many mighty works because of their unbelief, because they missed the mark. They didn't accept it. They didn't accept him, you know. So that's why Paul, because Paul is very specific about his words. In this case, like we read there in Philemon, the first part, it says, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ. He was specific about that because he's showing that this, all that he is tied to Christ. You know, and for the Lord has to harness us. Like how you harness a horse. The Bible says that we put bits in horses' mouths to control them. So the Lord has to harness us. You have to allow him to tie you. If you see a horse, before it's broken in, it's wild. It's wild. If you jump on it, straight away it wants to hurt you. It wants to kick you off. And they have to break that horse in to the point that that horse is so yielded, it's so surrendered, that when you jerk on it, it knows to gallop. If you jerk twice, I don't know, I'm not a horseman, but it goes faster. If you pull to the left, it goes to the left. You see, its world is gone. It's even in a war situation, bombs blowing up, bullets flying past it. If you say forward, that trained horse goes straight through. So where would we have a justification to hold on to anything which is contrary to God's word? Sometimes I can step on your toes. There's my part, I've wronged you. But there's your part in your reaction to what I've done. Paul, when he says, I'm a prisoner to Jesus Christ, he doesn't say, depending on how Brother Timothy deals with me. He takes it personal. It's personal to him. I'm going to be right with Jesus Christ. I'm going to make sure that I healed and there's nothing left of self inside of me. Paul does that. But Satan would have us by different means to bring you to a deception that sometimes you could think something of yourself than more than what is. That you hold on to something which the whole purpose of Christ manifesting himself to us is to breathe life, is to Christ died on the cross so that he can come back into us as a confirmation of the resurrection. Amen. That we will resurrect one day. Hallelujah. So that's how personal the Lord made it. But the paradox of it is that you have to believe that. And believing it is manifested in your life. Yeah. You know, we do see it that we come to the Lord and sometimes we hold on to so many things. Things which, when you look at the promises of the word, you can see that you're out of the word. But ego or self confines you to keep your ambitions. Which is a mistake indeed. Sister, I don't know if you can please get for us the I didn't realize our time is gone like that. But just may the Lord help us to try and put that point across. So if you can please get for us the quote which I asked you, 94 years of a prisoner. Brother Branham says, "Oh God, make us prisoners like that. From our own selfish ambition and from our own judgments and our better way of thinking, to be a prisoner of Jesus Christ." I think that was a great statement that I'm a prisoner to Jesus Christ. Yeah, before we go to that, the prophet on there is saying that he's saying, "Lord, change my thinking, change everything on me. To be a prisoner of Jesus Christ." Because, and sometimes we put these things far away from us. But if you stop to reflect, you alone know what's inside of your heart. Because that place where you're uncomfortable with the word, that's the starting place. Instead of resisting and trying to make God conform to what you want, Paul didn't do that. Paul yielded. He fully submitted. When the Lord appeared to Paul, right? To him, it was, he seen a light. But there were others around him. Yeah. And they heard that voice. It was supernatural what happened to them. But Paul was minded to act on it. Yeah. They just took Paul now into the city and then we don't hear of them again. But Paul, if you read in Acts chapter 9, you see that when he came face to face with the Lord, it impacted on him so much that he went into fasting. He fasted for 3 days and 3 nights. He got desperate. No change can come inside of our lives without desperation. Glory. you have to be dissatisfied with your condition. Because when the Holy Spirit comes and it wants to harness us to the Word of God, because Christ is in His Word. So he wants to tie us. You need that anchor post. If the reflection is not the same, what's in the Word and what's in us, that's the starting point. The Lord wants us to yield to that. He wants us to yield to it, to surrender, rather than to hold on and try to make God to conform to what we say. What I mean by that is sometimes, you know, along the way you speak with young people, some not so young. Because if you've been in the fellowship 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years, that's not so young. And you'll see maybe the Word will speak a direct thing. Yeah? It will speak a direct, something which is direct. And someone will say, no, I'm taking time. God will change me with the process of time. It's true, but be careful. Because it's a different thing with saying, the Lord will change me in the process of time, but I'm so desperate. Lord, you help me. I can see I love this thing. But this thing here is against your will and your word. It means that my understanding is distorted. Lord, deal with my heart. That's different. To saying, no, I love this thing and I'll change when I'm ready. That's not the nature of Paul. Didn't work that way. He didn't work that way. He didn't. That's what, like the prophet said there in on the 194, that, Lord, help us, make us prisoners. Yeah, that's a it's something conscious that you have to see that this life that I live and the life that Christ wants to be birthed in me, they're not there at odds. I have tried my own way. It's not there. Yeah. I have been let down by the world. So I am going to yield and look for help. Mm-hmm. Rather than saying, because you harnessing or you putting an anchor, which has it won't land on solid rock. Because for anchor to hold, it has to anchor on the bedrock. Yeah. That's solid, that'll keep it through that whole journey. But we'll read 95 as we come to an end there. And remember, He is the Word, see? No matter what anyone else thinks, it's the Word, see? If you're a prisoner to the Word, no denomination can sway you from it. It's the Word, you're a prisoner to it. That's all. You must act that way. You must act the way it acts. That's it. There's nothing else that you're putting before that. You are a prisoner to it. Your world, there must be nothing left. When you know, as we close, sometimes Satan would have us, like we say, whether it be through complexes, different things. So you form an opinion or you form an image that you present. And many times you don't want to lose that. But Christ is saying, like Paul is saying there, Jesus said it. Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. Paul couldn't become a prisoner. And then we have a different route. No. The prophet of our day forsook all. He forsook all, everything. Everything. And he was harnessed, he was anchored to the Word of God, which is Christ. Because we can't have hope in glory unless that hope is born in us. Yeah. That's why Christ came and he died on the cross. So that when you yield, when you submit, and he's born in your heart, there's that reflection. You know it. You can sense it. Doesn't matter what happens outside. Doesn't matter if you get sick. Obviously, it's not comfortable. But that's not your tie post. Your tie post is that one that reigns in your heart. So we're out of time, but may the Lord bless the reading of his word. Thank you for hearing us. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, once again, Lord, we come before you. We thank you so much for your word, Lord. Your word is a blessing, Lord. Father, without it, we wouldn't be in this place. Without it, Lord God, we wouldn't know, Father, of your goodness. We wouldn't know of, Lord, the things, Lord God, which you have done for us already. Lord, without your word, we wouldn't have hope even for tomorrow. So, Lord, we appreciate it. Lord, we just ask you, Lord, that you'd give us grace and mercies, Lord, where we might be slacking. But, Lord, we pray you give us a willing heart. Father, Lord, that we be able to overcome in this day. Be merciful to us, Lord, is our prayer. We ask you also, Lord Jesus, even now, as we get into song worship, Father, may you please be in it, Lord. Father, you have set it this way that we sing, we worship you, Lord, we praise you, Father, before the word comes and minister to our soul. So we ask you that you take full control, bless the song leader, bless the musicians. Father, give them grace to put themselves out the way so that you can use them for your glory and for your honor. Lord, and bless the word which shall come, Father. We pray, we ask all these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen and amen.